I'm John Best with Ann Stevenson Yang. The new book is Wild Ride, a short history of the opening and closing of the Chinese economy. Tiananmen is a catastrophe. The tanks on students, the damage, and then the pursuit of anyone who was in attendance takes 2 years of closing the country down, brutalizing. We don't have a good history. But in 1992, the country starts to open up again to capital. It needs capital. It needs money invested. It needs to organize itself to attract investment. And this is the period of creating the red capitalists, which I note, Anne, invariably were the sons and daughters of the leading political figures, all of them. Deng has a daughter whom you describe as Mousy, Deng Nan, who becomes part of the free economy, and the premier have children or friends of children. The one I love best is a Drexel University graduate named Jiang Minghang, who is called Mr. 10%er. What was the 10% about?
Well, that's because in Shanghai, where he lived then, a lot of companies felt that they needed to give him 10% of the equity in order to smooth their way to getting licenses and getting capital. He was the son, of course, of Jiang Zemin, who was the head of China. I hate to use the word president, which Chinese people never use, but he was the head of China after Tiananmen.
And so his son was Mr. 10%. And this is red capitalism. This isn't quite our idea of capitalism, but it is red capitalism. The premier's son, his name is Levin Zhu. He runs something that, what is that, a sovereign fund, a CICC. It's an investment fund.
The state-owned investment bank that it eventually took a piece of all of the Chinese companies that were listing on foreign markets.
So what we're looking at is the creation of royalties. Children then run the corporations or run the nodes where you must pass through that node in order to expand. Was there also independent entrepreneurial class at the same time?
Well, if you're going to be an independent entrepreneur, you have to attach yourself in some way to the regulators, because you have to realize this is a system that doesn't have an orderly sort of voting mechanism for distributing resources. So if you build a new factory and you need water and you need roads and you need, you know, resources, you need to access that through the government. And the government's way of getting its, you know, making sure that it has control over you is to have equity. And they would hold equity through trusted individuals.
The gray zones were created. The note I have here is the Premier Zhu permits the gray zones to be built. At the same time, they were cracking on the biggest smuggling ring ever. So smuggling was smuggling comes out of capitalism. I mean, Europe was smuggler's paradise. America was smuggler's paradise when it first was created. They cracked down on smuggling because it wasn't Chinese Communist Party smuggling. It was smuggling by independents, by actors from outside. Who were the smugglers?
Well, this always happens when you have government that has control over contracts. That's why you always find, the mafia in the U.S. in trash collection or road management, you know, things that are contracts that are handed out by the government. So this happened all over China, but you have problems because the government is not just one thing. It may be locals, it may be central people, it may be people who have fallen out of grace this year compared with last year. And so what happened is this gang in Xiamen got very, very powerful, and the central government felt that they had to take them down.
And they did. Now there's order here. The Chinese Communist Party has a very good way of organizing. It outlines what it wants and describes them as golden projects. The first one is customs banking communication. That's called the Golden Sea. The second golden project is taxes and audits. That sounds like something like the IRS. The third is the information technology that can be applied to ministries, such as Golden Health. And the fourth, it's the building of the birdcage. I love this. You can speak positively of what we're doing, or you can speak negatively. And you will be rewarded for the positive, and you will be punished for the negative. These golden projects, were they meant to be parallel to capitalism? Because capitalism doesn't need help. It's just making money. Did they interfere or were they standing apart?
See, what happened is that when Deng Xiaoping opened up the economy in the 1980s, everything kind of grew out of control. And you suddenly had this, you know, explosion of organizations, and the central government largely lost control. And when Tiananmen happened, they got very, very anxious, particularly because it was coincident with the breakup of the Soviet Union. And so they really, really worried that they too would break up. So the implementing of these Golden Projects was in order for the central government to get better control over the locals, whether it was through customs control and collection or tax collection or whatever it might be.
So they're creating the princelings, the children of the princelings and the princesslings are creating capitalism. The party is seeking to impose some kind of order to this capitalism. And then they run into a crisis. It's the Asian contagion of 98 is how we remember it. Russia was at the center of the story, but it also hit China very badly, and they had to recapitalize the banks. How did they do it?
Yeah. So what happened was they had a series of failures in 1998, and they decided that they would that they had to recapitalize the banks because they were going to have to shut their doors. So they created four asset management companies, each of which had a corresponding bank, because the Chinese have four large state-owned banks. And those asset management companies were essentially gifted capital from the Ministry of Finance with which to buy bad assets from their corresponding bank. And a lot of the bad assets they bought at par, even though they had a very small chance of ever being repaid. So the bonds that they used to buy these bad assets were supposed to mature in 10 years, and they were supposed to pay them back, but the government just rolled them over. So nobody's actually dealt with that debt yet.
In other words, they hosed cash on China. And what follows is an explosion of wealth. And the book is Wild Ride, A Short History of the Opening and Closing of the Chinese Economy. When we come back, 21st Century Miracle, Cash Everywhere, Drowning in Cash. Ann Stevenson Yang is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.